My message is from 1 Kings 17. Obviously, I won't have time to finish it, so we'll just introduce it, all right? I don't know whether this is just coincidence. I use the McShane Bible reading plan. Christina uses a different plan. And both of us end up reading Elijah. So this is what I want to bring out to our attention for the remaining time that there is. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah comes to the scene. You know Elijah, right? He's a prophet. So most prophets are like unusual people, right? He comes suddenly into the scene. We don't know where he comes from. Well, I suppose there's a town that is given. We don't know who his parents are, what they did, but he comes onto the scene. He challenges the king. And he challenged the king saying, a famine is here. And the summary of that is because, Ahab, you have gone too far. Not say we've gone too far. You've just gone far. And you're seriously off course. I'm a prophet. This thing is happening to put an end to Baal worship. Elijah appeared to put an end to Baal worship. I think the Holy Spirit will lead churches to put an end to worship of the golden image. The golden image that governments would set up because they thrive. They thrive the praise of men. Am I correct? It's very confusing. And it's very difficult for us. Don't you think so? And so behind all this, we must not forget there's always a spiritual realm. So in the days of Ahab, in the days of Elijah, there was the worship of Baal. Baal is recognized and proclaimed to be the chief among the gods. The chief among the gods. He would be the god of fertility. Fertility in terms of human production or animal reproduction, that kind of fertility. Fertility for the soil in terms of agriculture, because in those days it was principally an agricultural economy. So worship to Baal was encouraged because it would look after the land, it would look after your family, look after your economy, the economy of the nation. But Baal was more than that. Baal accepts child sacrifice. To the desperate, the firstborn is put through fire for Baal. Perhaps the offer to Baal is a bit too vivid as a picture. But what do you think modern slavery and human trafficking do? They don't prey on people with gray hairs. Because we don't have the stamina or the energy. You know? Right. So there is a spirit. Is there not? Is there not? The spirit is stirring the Middle East and all these refugees. The spirit is stirring Burma and Bangladesh, stirring people. The spirit is stirring in Korea, causing displacements, people movements, erratic. There's a spirit. Coming back to Elijah. His mission was to put an end to Baal worship. His mission. Now, you remember Jesus, perhaps rebuking the unbelief in Nazareth, reminded them that in those days, there was a famine. Remember? But Elijah was not sent to Israel because Israel was in unbelief. Israel was worshipping Baal. Israel was no longer worshipping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in that time, the contest in the heavenly places had already begun. God moved and said, end of Baal. But did Israel realize it? Probably not. Probably not. But God moved this man, Elijah, to deal with it. And so, this started with this famine. And so Elijah goes to Zarephath. Remember, there was a widow there. So, the first display of the glory of God, if Baal or Baal is the God that looks after agriculture and the produce and so on and so forth, there has now been no rain for 3 years, according to God's word. So whose word is more definite, whose word is stronger? Baal's word or God's word? God's word. God announced no rain. 3 years, there was famine. Baal is helpless. Amen? Whatever the people cried, did, worship, offered, no deal. The famine persisted. So the man of God was sent to the widow. Then the man of God's words prevailed. Your oil will not run out, your flour will not run out. Amen. Then the widow's child died. And so the widow was confused. Man of God, what have you done? You come to my company here, you seem to do good, and then my child's dead. What's the meaning of all this? You know, it's as if God has lost control. God won round one and may have lost round two. But Elijah prayed and the child came back to life. Now, what did the woman then say? I now know God. The display of God's power caused this woman to finally acknowledge God, because she was focused on the natural tragedy, the natural happenings. When this man of God came and caused the meal to last, people lived, but then what kind of life is that? There was destruction everywhere. One house, one widow, a boy, and a man of God, that's it. Hardly anything to rejoice by. Amen. But when the child was brought back to life, she began to see. She began to see. Amen. I'll add a few more things. Then I want to play a short video and we'll close, right? Next week we'll continue. The next part, you remember, Elijah came and there's a famous challenge in Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal. He's got confidence now. God is leading him. The display at Zarephath shows the authority and the power of God that boosted this man's confidence. God could use him for the next showdown. And it was a big showdown. Amen. So he executed the prophets of Baal. You all know the rest of the story, right? So what a high. What a high. And yet, when Jezebel, the queen, to him, by this time tomorrow, you are dead. And this man ran away. Why? He followed the build up. And now it's reached here. So that would mean that Baal is no more. I've already killed their prophets. Right? How come Baal still has a voice? I've already destroyed the prophets. I've challenged them. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, send fire down, consume the sacrifice, licked up the water, burn up the stones, burn up. Everything is gone. We won. But Baal still had a voice. Through Jezebel. Did Jesus win at the cross? He came to destroy the works of the devil, did he not? Huh? We sang just now. Lovely worship. Name. We praised him. Exalted him. Majesty on high. Glory be unto you. But Baal still has a voice. In this nation, maybe in your home, in your workplace, the enemy still has a voice. Am I correct? There is a victory. There's no doubt about that. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. We're born again, amen? Spirit of God fills us. There is a victory. There is a victory. There is a victory, amen? But from time to time, we still hear a voice that's against the victory. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, allow the Holy Spirit to come into us to manifest His glory, to give us His word, we can declare against the word of the enemy. Amen. And so we have victory. Amen.